Unbranded Podcast, and I'm your host, Susie Dean. I'm so grateful to have you on this journey with me. And by journey, it's a journey of self-discovery, of learning about others, reigniting the passions I've long had but never had the time to dive into until now. If you're here, I'm sure you also have an interest in plant magic, living in alignment with nature, spirituality, and the magic that surrounds us that we don't see but works constantly in our lives. And I'm sure you also consider yourself a little bit woo-woo. So sit crisscross applesauce, cleanse your space, set up your diffuser with some oils that uplift you, and enjoy while we have interesting conversations with interesting people on Unbranded with Susie Dean. I don't know why I'm nervous, but I'm just going to do this. Just like I always do when it's my solo podcast. No script, no outline, no editing, because I don't have time for that. Completely off the cuff. Before I start sharing, I want to give a trigger warning for anyone who is currently experiencing trouble with their fertility, anyone who has experienced trouble with fertility in the past and it's still a sensitive subject for them, anyone who has experienced miscarriage and it is still a touchy and sensitive subject for them, I highly recommend that you skip this episode. Come back to it at a future date if you feel that you need to, when you're in a safe space to listen to it, or don't listen to it at all. This is the completely raw, completely vulnerable story of my second miscarriage, which happened last week. Now, before I continue talking, I do want to make sure that I say this. Miscarriages are incredibly complex emotionally. You don't know when you experience your first miscarriage or any miscarriage, what emotions are going to come with it, what they're going to feel like, how long they're going to last. It could very much be the exact opposite of what you were going to feel. You often will experience conflicting and completely contradictory emotions. And so if you have not experienced a miscarriage before, I do want to share that, because with this miscarriage in particular, I was ashamed and embarrassed about the feelings that came up. And I'm nervous about the response that I will get in sharing this, but I do know that I'm not alone, and I do know that sharing the complexities of miscarriage and the emotions that come with it, and then doing so in such a raw manner, is important to add to the story and the voices of those who have and who will and who are experiencing loss. Before I talk about this loss, I do want to revisit my very first miscarriage. It was years and years ago, before Hawthorne. Robbie and I were very intentional about when and how we would try to have our first child. I was adamant that I wanted to be off of birth control for at least 6 months. I wanted to be married for at least 2 years. We wanted to have no debt or very little debt and have a certain income for both of us. And my woo-woo self wanted to make sure that my cycle was aligned with the moon as I was ovulating on the full moon and bleeding on the new moon. And I said, that is the marker for when I will know that my body is telling me that it's ready to get pregnant. I believe my first miscarriage, I think it was 2021. It happened in July of 2021. Robbie and I had decided, okay, let's like kind of try to get pregnant. And I tracked my ovulation. I did ovulation sticks. I am not the type of person to just be like, let's stop using protection and just see what happens. I'm like, if we're going to do this, we're going to do it well. I'm a high achiever in that way. So I was doing my ovulation test. I knew exactly when I was ovulating. I have a very regular cycle. And we tried to get pregnant. And yay, we got pregnant. I missed my period, or actually I didn't even miss my period. I was just so excited to find out that took a pregnancy test. And I was still a teacher. I took a pregnancy test during my planning period and it was positive. And I couldn't believe it. I couldn't believe that I was walking around and my body was building a baby. I sent a picture of it to all of my friends that were moms because it was a faint positive, but it was also before my missed period. And they were like, let's just, one friend, my friend Jackie in particular, she said, let's just say if I took a pregnancy test and that's what came up, I would be throwing up in the toilet because she did not want to be pregnant. She already had a couple of kids. So she was like, that's pregnant, bitch. So I left school that day so giddy and excited. I swung by Target. I wanted to buy some like mini baby basketball shoes because Robbie played basketball in college and I thought that would be a cute way to tell him. I got him a Father's Day card. In my excitement, I completely forgot to get a gift bag. So when he finally arrived home, I just handed him this Target bag with like the receipt and cowboy boots because they didn't have basketball shoes and a Father's Day card. And we were like, oh my gosh, I'm pregnant. He went out and bought ice cream. I was walking around just giddy all day. I would find myself multiple times just being like, I'm cutting up watermelon and my body's making a baby. It was magical. I couldn't believe it. And I had also planned this one because I really wanted a water sign baby. So I knew that this one would be due February 22nd, 2022. What a powerful birthday if it would have been born that day. A Pisces baby. I was very excited. And in my excitement, obviously, as I continued to do for my further pregnancies, I told my parents. I waited like a week. I couldn't even wait that long. I waited like a week and I gave my dad a baby fishing pole. He's a fisherman. I told my grandpa that he was being upgraded to great grandpa. We have it on video. He cried. It would be his first great grandchild. I told some of my friends that they were getting upgraded from best friend to aunt. And it was a beautiful time. And we went to our first doctor's appointment and there was a little baby in there. There's no heartbeat, but the baby was measuring at like 6.5 weeks, I think. And the tech said, not a problem. Like usually heartbeats don't show up until like 7, 7.5, 8 weeks. But at that point, when she told me, even though she was not concerned at all, I thought to myself, no, this is not right. I thought it to myself. I didn't say anything. She said, it's not a problem. You think you're 7.5 weeks or 8 weeks or whatever I thought I was, but people ovulate late. And there are so many reasons why this could be happening. There's no reason to fret. But I was like, no, lady, listen, I've had a consistent 27-day cycle for years. I know when I ovulate. I've been tracking my ovulation for months. I know when I had sex. I know when my egg was released. I know how old this baby should be. But still, I just pushed that down to the back of my head and trusted her. And about a week later, I was going to the bathroom and I wiped and the toilet paper was light pink. And I immediately started crying. I'm having a miscarriage. I'm starting a miscarriage. I called my mom. She kind of talked me off the ledge. She came over and took care of me because light bleeding in early pregnancy is very, very normal. She bled with me for the first few months of her pregnancy with me, and she had a miscarriage before me. So she, that's like a whole other traumatic thing to go through a miscarriage, then go through a pregnancy and then bleed again. But she texted me off the ledge. I kind of calmed down. I had some trips planned. I was going to see a friend in DC. And when I was in DC, I kept bleeding. And that was hard because I wasn't with Robbie. I wasn't with my parents. I wasn't with my mom. I didn't have the support system that I wanted to be going through that. So I numbed out and disassociated. I was on the plane and more and more, I was starting to miscarry. And the frustrating thing about miscarriage is if you have a typical OB, they will not take you in unless you are like soaking through pads, which I wasn't because I was constantly wiping, but they would not see me to confirm whether or not I was having a miscarriage. And I had felt very dismissed because I knew something was wrong. And I knew something was wrong from that first ultrasound. I continued bleeding for a few days, not aggressively so. I could still go out throughout my days. Actually, sorry, I have a whole podcast on this. I think I came back from DC. I called my OB. They said that they wouldn't see me and to keep monitoring it. And then I was so worked up that I just called a local ultrasound place and said, hey, I think I'm miscarrying. I need an ultrasound. I will pay out of pocket for this. I just need to know. And I set it for the next morning at like 7 a.m. And that was July 13th, 2021. During this time, I was feeling incredibly anxious, yet also disassociated because I was someone who was lucky enough to grow up with women who had miscarriages and talked about their miscarriages and talked about how common it is. Not that having a miscarriage and being told that it's common is any type of comfort, but knowing that it was, I mean, it was kind of a comfort because it was like, because I know a lot of women who go through miscarriages and blame themselves, which we can talk about later, but it was a comfort because it had been so normalized to me that this is something that can happen. And if it does happen, it means that your body noticed that something was wrong and stopped the pregnancy for your safety. So I knew, okay, if I'm having a miscarriage, I need to be in the right headspace, wait for a solid answer, and trust in my body. So hard to talk about. It's so complex, so hard to explain. I went to the ultrasound place. It was a tiny office with this like ancient TV ultrasound. And the ultrasound tech was not an OB, was not my OB, so couldn't definitively say that something was wrong. But I sat down and I was like, listen, I'm pretty confident that I'm having a miscarriage. I don't want you to feel bad telling me that. She said, well, I can't tell you for sure, but, and I was like, okay, but typically, like, I'm supposed to be 9 weeks pregnant. By this time, you should be seeing a heartbeat and this should be bigger, right? And she, you know, used her safety language to, like, avoid getting sued and was like, usually around this time, there is a heartbeat, whatever. So I basically was like, all right, I'm miscarrying. That's happening. There's no heartbeat. I'm 9 weeks. It should be more. There has been no growth in this baby. Let's proceed as we should. And the ultrasound tech felt so bad for me. She like, I think the ultrasound was like $600. She gave me a $500 discount. She felt so bad. So it wasn't, however, just the miscarriage that day. I also found out literally 20 minutes after I had talked to my best friend and told her that I was miscarrying. And she found out about 15 minutes after my phone call that her dad had a sudden heart attack and did not make it. And also within that 24-hour time span, something really tragic happened between some family members. So it was just 3 bombs in the span of 24 hours. I get into that a lot more in one of my very first podcast episodes talking about miscarriage and then getting pregnant again. I won't get into it here, but needless to say, my miscarriage took the back burner because I was trying to be supportive to a friend who just lost her dad suddenly and supportive to my family members who were going through something absolutely heart-wrenching. And my pregnancy, like, I didn't even get to the point where I was feeling pregnant. I didn't see a heartbeat. I didn't know the gender of the baby. I didn't see a baby moving around in my belly. I was like, I don't need to be worrying about myself right now because it was early. I know that miscarriages happen. I knew that this was a possibility. I can deal with this later. And then something else happened and I like got another ultrasound just to confirm that I was losing the baby and that I could schedule my DNC. But then my baby had grown and everybody was like, okay, wait, maybe you're actually not miscarrying. I'm like, oh my God, the back and forth, I cannot. But fast forward, whatever. I'm dealing with all this stuff and I never got around to facing my miscarriage, which means when you don't face your emotions head on, they force you to face them head on. So now in retrospect, I see for months after, probably between, so I miscarried in July and then from probably like mid-August or September to November, through November, I constantly found myself coming home from school, drinking a bottle of wine, crying on the floor, banging my head against walls, the cabinets in my bathroom, having Robbie have to pick me up, crying that I like trusted and said and truly did believe and still do believe that my body is more intelligent than me and that my body knew something was wrong and addressed it and ended the pregnancy for my safety. But I was still very resentful towards the situation as a whole. I just wanted to know that I could get pregnant. I didn't want the unknowns of, okay, so now am I going to continue having miscarriages? Is there a problem? Does my body have a, is my, am I going to be facing the fact that my body has trouble carrying pregnancies? And every time I thought of having a baby, I was just filled with rage. I wasn't sad about the miscarriage necessarily. I didn't know this baby. I didn't know this pregnancy. I was just angry and resentful. And anytime someone mentioned, like, I vividly remember one of my friends saying, she was getting married. I was a bridesmaid, talking about bridesmaids' dresses. And she's like, and it's this dress, so you'll have plenty of time if you happen to get pregnant to buy another size or get it tailored. And I just got so angry that she even mentioned that I could potentially be pregnant at her wedding, which I ended up being 5 months pregnant at her wedding. I just got so angry about her talking about me getting pregnant again, because I was just, I don't know why. Why? I was just full of resentment and rage about the whole thing, about the, and not just about the miscarriage, but about getting pregnant in the future. I was so angry. Every time I thought about trying to get pregnant, I just felt angry. And then I vividly remember one day on my way to school in the morning, I was at a stoplight and the thought of having a baby crossed my mind, and I didn't get angry. And I just felt nothing. I just felt complacent, or not complacent, content. And that's when I knew maybe I've processed. Maybe I've gotten through this enough to start considering getting pregnant again, because it didn't bring up such a visceral reaction. And then we tried to get pregnant in December, because I knew that if I did, Hawthorne's due date would be on my birthday. We tried to get pregnant. We banged. I got pregnant. And then we have Hawthorne. And getting pregnant after a miscarriage is a whole other thing. I was just a ball of anxiety for 12 weeks. And that's something that a lot of people don't talk about, is getting pregnant after a miscarriage is so sad, because pregnancy isn't magical anymore. Whereas with the first pregnancy, I was walking around like, oh my gosh, nobody here knows that I'm pregnant. And I have this secret, and my body is just like building this baby while I'm just like eating lunch. My body's so amazing and miraculous. With the next pregnancy, you know, there is no safe time in pregnancy. At any moment, you could wipe and see pink. Seeing a heartbeat doesn't give you peace of mind. Making it through the first 12 weeks doesn't give you peace of mind. Seeing this anatomy scan doesn't really give you peace of mind, because at that point, the curtain has been pulled from the Wizard of Oz, and you see, oh wait, there actually is no safe point in pregnancy. So anyway, let's bring us to now. I've been this was a very different pregnancy and miscarriage. I've been very vocal, both on this podcast and on my Instagram stories, about the thought of getting pregnant again. I'm an only child. Robbie has 4 older siblings. I think we have a collective 18 nieces and nephews, and then a great niece and a great nephew. Big family on his side. My pregnancy with Hawthorne was hard. I gained 70 pounds. I was very uncomfortable. I was very anxious. I was very depressed. All the things. But I've been loving being a mom. I'm loving having my own body, having my body back, being able to move the way that my body was designed to move, being able to hang out with Hawthorne while also having my own identity and my own personality. It's just been a wonderful phase. And so, but naturally, I'm thinking about having another child, because I know Hawthorne wants more children. I know that I want more children. I was an only child, like I said. My mom was an only child, and my mom always told me she wished she could have given me siblings, because going through the loss of both of her parents alone as an only child was horrific for her, and she didn't want that for me. But unfortunately, she could not. It was not safe for her to have a baby after me. So I know I want another child, and I'm looking around, and I'm like, not ready, not ready, not ready. My midwife said, don't even try to get pregnant for 18 months, because I want to have a VBAC. And so I was like, cool, cool, cool. I don't have to think about this for 18 months. And 18 months goes by, and I'm like, nah, I'm just not ready. Like, I'm having so much fun, and we're getting into the groove of just being, of like having a family of 3. And I just don't feel like my time alone with Hawthorne is done yet. I'm not in a space where I want to get pregnant again and give up all these things and not fit into clothes. And God forbid, like, my eating disorder thoughts come back, and I don't want to rearrange my whole life and plans that I have because I'm pregnant and can't travel and can't do this and that. Like, I'm just not there yet. And also, of course, there's the fear of, will I love my second baby as much? Of course I will. I know I will. Everybody says that I will. But also, I know that I will be losing time with Hawthorne. And that's just a fact. Like, time doesn't grow when you have multiple children. Your heart grows, your love grows. That's what they say. But you still have the same 24 hours in a day. And now all of my time that I was dedicating to Hawthorne, I'm now having to divide. But still, I know that having a sibling is a blessing. And I do know that I want it at some point, but just not now. And another thing that I'm telling myself and I'm telling people, Robbie is not giving me pressure at all. He's very much like, if we have one child and one child only, that's a blessing. But I know that he wants multiple children. And I know that I want multiple children. I know I want Hawthorne to have siblings. But at the same time, I grew up always knowing that my parents wanted me, planned for me. Unlike many people, I know the story of the night I was conceived. I don't know super details. I know it was in a shower. Anyway, it was before a Christmas party. They wanted me and planned for me and intentionally had me with such intention that I could always grow up with a story of, we wanted you, we planned for you. I remember the day I was so excited. I didn't grow up with the story of, you were a surprise, which is totally fine. Like, Robbie was a surprise. That's a totally fine narrative. But I felt, as a child growing up, I felt so much comfort knowing how much I was wanted. And I'm able to give that story to Hawthorne, too. I was very intentional with waiting about family planning. I waited until I was at a point where emotionally the thought of having a child made me excited. I knew that I wanted him so bad. I had been tracking my ovulation. I had been calculating what his due date would be. I had it down to the due date of my birthday. That's how much I wanted him and planned for him and waited for him and how excited I was for him. And I want all of my children to have that story or some kind of story like that. I'm just not the type of person that wants to throw caution to the wind and be like, if I get pregnant, I get pregnant. And you were a delightful surprise one day when I realized that my boobs were hurting more than they usually were. I want every single one of my children to have a story of, I was ready for you. I was excited for you. We intentionally had you, waited for you, prayed for you. And there you were. And this is who you are. And so I have been waiting until I'm again at a place where emotionally the thought of having another child makes me feel excited. I came back from Utah from Silva Retreat. And I already talked about that. I was like so emotionally overstimulated and depleted and blah. I'm usually so on top of my cycle. I know when I'm ovulating. I know when my period's coming. I'm very in tune with my body. And for the first time, I didn't check my period app. And I didn't think that I was going to be ovulating for another week based on my calculations. But your girl was overstimulated. She was so tired. And she was just like mentally not there. And a few days after I got back from Utah, I happened to be checking my app to find out when I would be ovulating again, and found out that on my very first day of my fertile window, I did the nasty. And I was like, oh no, Robbie, I'm fertile. And I had this moment of like, oh shit, I had sex while I was fertile. And I didn't really think much of it. It was the very first day of my fertile window. And trigger warning, if you're still listening and if you struggle with fertility. And I was like, it's hard to get pregnant. Having sex once in your fertile window, like, doesn't necessarily mean you're going to get pregnant. So I'm moving on about my days. We don't have sex during the rest of my fertile window. Avoid it like the plague, because I know that I'm not ready. The fact that I saw that I had sex on a fertile day and I felt fear and nerves told me I'm not ready. I'm going about my days. My period's supposed to come on like Halloween, the new moon, dark. See, my period is synced up with the moon. I know when it's supposed to come. It doesn't come. It was supposed to come on the 20th. Not that you care. Whatever. Doesn't come on the 28th. Doesn't come on the 29th. And I'm like, I have this pregnancy test. Maybe I'll just do it for peace of mind. I haven't really been having like period or pregnancy symptoms. I know that I'm pregnant with Hawthorne. I knew I was pregnant because my boobs hurt so bad I couldn't even hug my dad. But I was like, maybe my boobs don't hurt because I'm still breastfeeding. And they're like always being stimulated and always like making some sort of milk. So maybe that's not a factor. I took a pregnancy test and recorded it. And I said, you know, I feel so stupid recording this because I really don't think that I'm pregnant, but my period's late and I just want to do this for peace of mind. I don't have any symptoms yet, but I'm also breastfeeding. So like, who knows? I turn it around and it says pregnant. And I left my body. I felt cold sweats and I felt fear. And I told Robbie, and he was really excited, obviously. I started crying, both for multiple reasons, out of fear, because entering pregnancy after you've had a miscarriage is just scary. Frustration and anger and resentment, to be quite honest, because I was not ready to be pregnant again. I was mad at myself. I just was kicking myself for not checking if I was fertile. I was crying every time I looked at Hawthorne. Ugh. I was crying every time I looked at Hawthorne because I felt like I was already taking away from him the emotions and time and love that I was able to give him. I just looked at him and I saw all this time that I would no longer be able to give to him that I so desperately wanted to. But in all honesty, I was also relieved because who knows how long I was going to put off trying to get pregnant again. Maybe the fear of pregnancy again would just have me pushing it off indefinitely. And I felt relieved knowing, you know, if even though this wasn't planned, I feel a lot of peace knowing that Hawthorne is going to have a sibling. It's just, it happened to me. And maybe there's a lot of lessons in here. Because, of course, this would happen to me. I'm such a planner. I know how to plan pregnancies. I was going to plan my babies around their zodiac signs. I would be the last person for this to happen to, but of course this would happen to me because I need to learn a lesson in the fact that I can't control everything in my life. We took two more pregnancy tests. They were both positive immediately. And for the next week, Robbie was talking to Hawthorne, do you want a little brother? Do you want a little sister? And I was oscillating between feeling peace, knowing that a baby was coming for Hawthorne, and feeling resentment because I just wasn't ready. And I had so many emotions to catch up to and process. And I was crying every single day because I didn't want to be pregnant and I didn't want to take away time from Hawthorne. And I felt guilty also for not being excited for a pregnancy, especially when so many people fight so hard and for so long to get pregnant. And I got pregnant not on purpose and was sad about it. It's just, I mean, to feel relief and resentment and guilt and anger all at the same time, it was a lot. Not to mention the fact that I immediately had to stop taking my anxiety meds. So I was just like not sleeping, heart racing, feeling lightheaded and dizzy because I'm heavy breathing all day. And we did get a little excited. Like, we'll tell my parents at Thanksgiving and we'll tell his family at Christmas. And we were planning ways that we were going to tell different people. And then I was thinking, okay, well, the due date's supposed to be in July. I'm supposed to be going to Utah for a Young Living convention. I won't be able to see all of my friends. But at least I'll be able to make it for my trip to Bali in April, but I'll be pretty pregnant. And will I want to be eating all that food while I'm pregnant? Is that scary? What if I get sick? I don't know. And the thought also did cross my mind of maybe this is a blessing, because if I were pregnant and wanted to be pregnant, if I were pregnant and wanted to be pregnant, I would be spending these first 12 weeks, and specifically these first 3 weeks before my first ultrasound, in a panic about potentially having a miscarriage. But since this pregnancy was not planned, if I do have a miscarriage, it won't be that devastating. And I don't have to worry about whether or not I'm going to have a miscarriage, because I didn't have that stress. So maybe maybe it's a blessing for my mental health. And on election day, I woke up, I was getting ready to go on a walk with Hawthorne, went to the bathroom right before I was about to take him on a walk, pink on the toilet paper. And my first thought to myself was relief. And also, this is what I wanted. And then after that, not this is what I wanted, but this is what I mentally prepared for and was okay with. This is what I want. Yeah, this is what I wanted, to not be pregnant. I didn't want to be pregnant. And I felt those feelings. And then I didn't feel any feelings, because it's like nature took over. And I immediately started bawling my eyes out. And not thinking, with no rhyme or reason. Like, I didn't want to be pregnant. I feel release. I feel grateful. I get to spend all this time with Hawthorne. But it's like my body took over my consciousness because my body was mourning. Because my body is designed to want to be pregnant and procreate. And when it's getting ready to make a baby and that egg and that sperm meets, it's like your hormones get excited, like our job, we finally get to go to work, we're doing it. And then it loses it. And then I think your body goes into a state of mourning. And that's when my body took over and started to mourn. And I was crying on the floor. Probably was in a meeting, I didn't tell him. Finally, when he was done, I just cried in his arms, big tears, so sad. Such a weird day. Election day, miscarriage day. And for a few days after, I cried every day. And it was so confusing because I was 100% devastated and I was 100% relieved. And I was feeling guilty for being relieved. And I was feeling joy for feeling relieved. And I was feeling so sorry.
Nope.
At first, we were like, we don't know. Spotting in early pregnancy is so common, but not even 40 minutes later, we were like, okay, we're sure. This is happening. This is happening. And it was so early in the pregnancy, so early. The average woman who half-assed pays attention to her cycle wouldn't have even known she was pregnant. If I didn't really know, I'd be like, oh, I just had a really late period because I was in like a deep, dark depression for 2 weeks because of that freaking RN and my mental health pushed off, messed up my hormones and pushed off my period. It was so early. So I was able to pass everything at home. And I didn't have to go see any doctors, and I didn't even have my first ultrasound yet. But it was just challenging to navigate. I mean, and I'm so scared to be talking about this right now, to tell the world that I got pregnant on accident and I felt resentful of that pregnancy. And then I felt relieved when I started miscarrying. But also, everything that I'm feeling is correct and what I should be feeling because those feelings are there. And that's how I know it's right. There aren't wrong emotions. And to push down and feel guilt and shame for the emotions that I'm feeling would be doing a disservice to those feelings and to my mourning and grieving process, even though it doesn't typically make sense on paper. It's been about a week since I started miscarrying, and I haven't cried in about 4 days, which is a win. And now I'm in a period of reflecting on what is this teaching me, what has this taught me. And it has made it clear to me that when it comes to me getting pregnant again, it needs to be nobody's decision but mine, because I was already doing a disservice to that baby by not being excited about it. I want to be excited for every single one of my children. I want to get pregnant and have love and joy hormones building that baby. I don't want any of my children to be in my womb growing and for me to be feeling resentful. That's so not fair to those children. And I don't want to feel the way I felt. I don't want to feel resentful just in my day-to-day life. I don't want to be waking up and ticking off all of the things that I can't do because I'm pregnant and I wasn't ready for it. I don't know when I'll get pregnant again. I don't know when I will want to. I don't know when I will be able to think about getting pregnant again and feel peace and joy and excitement. But I know that I need to be overripe for pregnancy. I need to be so excited, ready, and joyful. I feel like I don't take a shot every time I say those words. You get what I mean. Before I try to get pregnant again. And that might be in 6 months. Or that might be when Hawthorne is 4, but when it comes to family planning and the emotional toll that pregnancy takes on you and the way that it affects your mental health, both positively and negatively, depending on your situation, the spacing between your pregnancies, the thoughts that people have of, I want all of my kids to be 2 years apart. I want them to be in high school together. I still want them to be close enough to have a relationship. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if it's going to cost the peace of mind of the mother carrying those children. It doesn't matter if it's going to mean that that pregnancy is going to be riddled with resentment for however long. I know that I need to work on drowning out, as all my friends are pregnant with their second and third children, I need to drown out all of the noise, all of the pressure that I'm putting on myself to have children at a certain time for Robbie, because I know he wants more children. Again, even though he's not pressuring me at all, and it's totally fine, I need to stop putting this pressure on myself. Because if this has taught me anything, it's that nothing, it's not worth it. It's not worth getting pregnant when I'm not ready and then having feelings of resentment. Was this stupid? Did I make any sense? Was this coherent? I hope it makes sense. I told a couple people about this. I mean, I told my friends and family and such, but there are a few people that I'm friends with, like internet friends with, who were like, thank you for actually saying those words, because I felt resentful with my pregnancies and I felt so much shame about it. But it's just the range of human emotion. So that's why I was a little MIA. That's why I was a little down in the dumps. That's why I was so cryptic, because sharing that I had a miscarriage, that wasn't just it. It was all of the other emotions that I wanted to talk about. And just because everyone deserves to hear this over and over and over again, miscarriages are not your fault. Of course, unless you do it on purpose and like whatever. Obviously, then it's your fault, but it doesn't matter how much coffee you avoid, how quickly you stopped drinking alcohol, how quickly you started prenatal vitamins. It doesn't matter if you drank more kombucha than you thought you did. If you have a miscarriage, it's not your fault. It is very common, and that may not give you peace of mind, because if you have gone through a miscarriage, you want that baby, but nobody should have to feel like it's their fault, like they did something wrong, like they are less than a woman because they had a miscarriage. It is the intelligence of your body. Your body knows much more than your mind does. And your body knew something is not right with this pregnancy, and I'm going to protect you from it. Or your body is saying, I do not have the tools right now to build a healthy and thriving baby for you. So we are going to stop this now until we can do it again. It is not a shortcoming of you. And also a takeaway, miscarriages are complex. If you go through a miscarriage in the future, there's no telling what emotions you're going to have, but I can tell you every emotion you do have is the right one. If you are going through a miscarriage and are having trouble navigating the emotions that you're going through, there's no rhyme or reason. There's no way, there's no playbook to navigate this except to feel it all. And if you have a friend going through a miscarriage, or even if you're listening to me talk about my feelings around this miscarriage and it's not your own experience, know that you cannot judge the way someone else navigates their experience of loss. You cannot judge how someone moves through the grief of loss. But you know what you can do? You can send them a bottle of wine and a fat order of sushi. Thank you for listening. It was good to get this off my chest and share this with everyone. And while I'm scared to do it because I feel shame around the feelings that came up, I also know that there are a lot of people who will feel comforted knowing that they're not the only ones feeling these feelings, or they aren't the only ones who have in the past felt these feelings. Housekeeping, I think I'm going to take a little break from the podcast. I did it around this time last year. Just some time to catch up, take a sabbatical, figure out where I want to take this, gather up some dope guests to have conversations with so that I can come back next year with banger after banger after banger. If you guys have requests for someone that you want to hear on the pod, someone you want me to interview, please send them in. I could always use your help. And I'll still be on Instagram. Slide into my DMs. You guys know the drill. I love making friends with you guys. Thank you for holding space for me today. I hope you have the best day ever. I hope you enjoyed the wisdom, knowledge, and camaraderie that was shared today. If you enjoy this podcast and hanging out every week, make sure to subscribe to this show so that you never miss an episode. And if you really want to make my heart sing with joy, take a couple of minutes today to rate and review this show. In doing this, you're exposing the show to others that are just like you and just like me and would benefit from the information shared here as well. If we're not already connected, you can follow me on Instagram at woowoobestie_Suzie, S-U-Z-Y, where I share more about my plant magic journey, spirituality, and knowledge about essential oils. I've also linked our Woo Woo Bestie Facebook group below if you're not already a part of it. It's a safe space for seekers of wisdom and those anywhere on their journey of spirituality. Ask your questions, share your moon rituals, learn from the collective wisdom of the Woo Woo community. All are welcome, and I would love to see you there. I hope that you have the best week ever. Until next time.